The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better. It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Welcome your hosts, Byron White and Amanda Smith.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Glad to have you here. We've got a two-part show today. We're going to lead in today with Emily Davidson, the author of a new fabulous book, 101 Tips on Healthy, Tips on Healthy Eating Naturally. And then we'll dive in with Marlene Cray, our monthly segment on healthy living segments. But without further ado, Amanda, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited. Today is all about health. And I got to tell you, I just finished reading Emily Davidson's book. It's amazing. Natural healthy eating tips. I mean, she talks about how to decipher food labels. She talks about the best things to be eating, what to look for. The book is great for beginners, advanced, you know, foodies, anyone in between. So I'm really excited to hear what she's got to say. And then, of course, Marlene. We love Marlene. So we have a really busy day booked.
Right on. Is Emily on the line with us right now?
Yes, I am. Great to be here, guys.
Thanks very much for joining us. Congratulations on the publishing of your new book.
Thank you.
I am sure that you're going to make the world a better place, truly, with this book. Tell us a little bit about the work that went involved in this and your passion for eating well.
Well, I think that healthy eating is really the foundation of a healthy lifestyle. I mean, people look at fitness and they look at medications they take, but I really think that a diet is the way to true health. And so the book sort of looks at all the different aspects of how healthy food is going to affect your life and the sort of choices that you need to be making in order to make sure that you're really supporting all the different aspects of health through your diet. Mm-hmm. So I had to take a lot of different perspectives here because people come from all different kinds of backgrounds in terms of what they're eating. So you need to look at not only what you shouldn't be eating, but really what you should be emphasizing and what the benefits are. And because we live in such a sort of complicated food world, I think it was really important to take a look at nutrition labels and the way that we look at our food today. And also there's a lot of emphasis on being green, which is very popular now, just in sort of picking food that's respectful to the environment is also respectful to our bodies, and it's sort of a good cycle in that way that we're able to eat well, help the environment, and sort of build a more natural lifestyle that way.
Emily, you have some awesome recipes in here, super oatmeal and watercress stir fry. Did you come up with these recipes yourself, and what's the emphasis on?
I did, and I had a lot of fun with it because once I sort of decided which foods I thought were sort of the optimum health foods, which mostly for me are vegetables, especially dark leafy greens, because they're very nutrient dense. I just had a lot of fun experimenting in the kitchen and seeing which sort of vegetables complemented each other, what types of herbs and spices really brought out the flavors. It's just, the recipes, I'm proud of them and I think they're good, but I think that people, once they get comfortable with healthy foods, should really experiment themselves and see which types of foods they like, because a healthy lifestyle really can't be kept up if you're not enjoying it. So I like to encourage people to experiment themselves and see what they can sort of come up with healthy foods.
And you know what's interesting is you actually attack deciphering nutrition labels, which I know we've talked about with Marlene, our other guest in the past before, but it never fails to stump me sitting in the store and just poring over what it all means.
Yes, it's very complicated, especially because so many things are filled with things that we can't even pronounce. And although I sort of point out, you know, the worst culprits, which is the high fructose corn syrup and the trans fat, which we're hearing more and more about in the mainstream, these sort of toxic man-made chemicals that are found in our food that are really not made to be digested by humans. But I think the bottom line is you want something with a simple ingredient list. You want to be eating food that is close to the earth, that's natural. And when you're picking a food like that, you're not going to have more than a couple ingredients, and you're probably going to be able to understand what the ingredients are.
Byron, you and your wife like to cook a lot, right? I think this is a good book for you guys.
I'm just diving into it as I speak here because it's so fun, and I love the opportunity to just bounce around. That's probably the funnest part. I almost feel like you could just pick up one or two tips a day and just run with that for a few days and then return back to the book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually the cook in the family. Matter of fact, my wife is not cooked more than one or two meals in her life, which I am so proud of. I wanted her to go through her entire life without ever having to cook a meal. Well, unfortunately, we fell off that train a couple of times because I tend to work late. But so I'm really into this. A couple of simple things are popping out. Can you explain why? Well, first of all, I want to ask you about a hot new trend, which I've read about myself, and I'm not sure if you comment on it in the books. I haven't read all the tips yet. But I hear that microwaving vegetables is really pretty hot right now in the sense that the fewest amount of nutrients are escaping from vegetables if you microwave them a certain way. Have you heard that?
That's very interesting because I have actually heard the opposite, which there are a lot of people who believe that microwaving food can destroy and a lot of the nutrients found in food. A couple years ago, microwaves were actually outlawed in Russia because they were doing some tests and finding that nutrients were going dramatically down and certain substances in food, I think mostly meats, were actually becoming toxic. So microwaves are a very controversial topic right now. I personally skip them because it's sort of an unknown, but I have not heard anything about them actually being beneficial to your food at all, but that would be an interesting thing to look into.
Yeah, we'll look for a follow-up on that, and Marlene might be able to chime in with that. What about what is the least loss of nutritional benefits from vegetables, just to stay on that subject for a second, in your mind? I mean, steaming, braising, grilling, roasting, there's lots of choices for vegetables. Do you have your thoughts, or have you done any scientific research on that?
Well, I really believe that raw foods is the most nutrient-dense way to consume your food. The raw food movement is sort of all about the active enzymes are not destroyed at all by any heating. So, of course, you can't eat raw all the time, but I do think it's really good to incorporate salads and raw vegetables in your everyday diet because they really are. That's where the nutrients, as soon as you begin to heat them, that's as the nutrients and the natural enzymes sort of begin to deteriorate. Mm-hmm. But from that point on, I do think the least amount of cooking preserves the most nutrients and the most enzymes. So usually light steaming or light sautéing is a good way. I know it's not the way we're going to cook our food all the time, but I try to make it a habit to either eat raw vegetables or to do just very light cooking.
What about blanching versus steaming in that debate?
I would say that they're probably about the same.
Blanching, boiling,
in terms
steaming.
Of they're not, it's not going to be the same as baking something for hours or grilling, but I think that they don't, in terms of how they affect the food, it's really about the same to me.
And have you learned anything about the hydration issue of vegetables as you store them and how that relates to nutrition depletion?
I'm actually not familiar with that at all. In terms of hydration, I just know that vegetables are very important to keep and consume fresh because the hydration levels are very good for just rehydrating the body.
Right. I just made that all up, by the way. I was just but no,
Byron. I was going to say, I haven't really heard much about that.
No, I'm on a humorous note, though, that's all true. But for example, when you see asparagus sold in a restaurant or in a grocery store, it is stacked on racks and it is being hydrated with water. It's sitting in a pan of water, right? Mm-hmm. Similarly, when I buy lettuce, for example, I wash the lettuce. I break the leaves off the lettuce, and I wash them, putting a little hydration on the lettuce, and then wrap it in a cloth towel and store it in an airtight container. My only point being that vegetables dehydrate, and when they dehydrate, they start to decay, and I'm sure the nutrients start to get the value is diminished as vegetables dehydrate, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the only thing that to be careful of is sometimes a wet environment can be more prone to bacteria. So certain produce does a little bit better, slightly dry. Others, I know normally when I store leafy greens, I want them to be slightly moist but to still have access to air because trapping the water in can also trap bacteria.
Right. And how about tomatoes, just on an interesting note? I mean, I didn't realize this. I always used to store tomatoes in a paper bag because that's what I learned somewhere in my travels. But as it turns out, tomatoes need air. They if they don't have air circulation, they basically start to ripen and rot. And is that right?
That is true, because tomatoes, as well as most produce, but tomatoes especially, produce a gas that causes them to ripen. So if you have an unripe tomato, avocado, banana, you can store it in a paper bag, and it sort of traps the gas and causes it to ripen faster. But if you have a tomato that's about where you want it to be or you don't want it to ripen, it should just stay out in the open air so the gas isn't trapped and causing it to become overripe.
Right, right. Any other tips like that? We've talked about vegetables, but maybe we should move into other categories. But gosh, these are just such important things. I just wonder how many people understand some of these little idiosyncrasies and complexities. It seems overwhelming and complicated for people, but we've really touched on some key things here, I know, with my own life. What is your take on meats, and you know, are you a vegetarian? I should ask that for starters.
I am a vegetarian, but I do think that it is very possible to have a healthy diet with meat. I think the most important thing is to emphasize organic and grass-fed, mm-hmm. because the way that meat is processed now can be under very unsanitary conditions with a lot of added chemicals, hormones, nitrates, things that are very toxic in the body and really don't produce a good quality of meat in the end. So I think that if you choose to eat meat, it's just very important to look for the most sort of natural, even local meat is a great option if you have it around you.
Mm-hmm. You know, on the subject of nutrition, and we'll have Marlene, you know, chime in with this later today, and I'd love for you to stay on the line and listen in to what she has to say as well. But so one of the things that Marlene has taught me over the years in the topic of meats and other things is the energy that is required to digest meats, right?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I happen to be a fast talker and a fast eater, which, trust me, is a recipe for disaster when it comes to overall nutrition. You know, I'll eat meat very fast, and maybe I'll eat, you know, some meats like lamb that's very, you know, it's got a lot of veins in it. It really should be chewed like 700 times in your mouth before you swallow it, actually. And there was an interesting study done recently by a person that lived to be very, very old, like in their upper hundreds. I mean, I think somebody recently lived to be about 135 or 140. I think there's somebody that's from somewhere in the world. But this person wasn't quite that old. But they were analyzing their life, and sure enough, they were a person that chewed every bite of everything they ate like so many times it practically dissolved in their mouth. Have you heard anything about that with regards to overall nutrition on what you should put in your body, but healthy eating in general?
Yeah, absolutely, especially, again, with the raw food. It's all about making sure that you are extracting every nutrient out of the food, especially because raw food is so fibrous and crunchy that, yeah, it's really important to let all the enzymes that are in your saliva be completely covering your food, making sure everything is completely digested. It's easier on your digestive system, which makes your whole body function smoother and easier, and then it helps you just extract more nutrients from the food, definitely.
Amanda, any more questions for our fabulous guest here in our first pre-halftime show here?
Well, you know, I should tell you, my fiancé is on IM right now and literally just popped up to say, what do you want for dinner? And my response was, roasted vegetables, banana bread, pretty much everything that's listed in the back of Emily's book, carrot cake and cashew frosting. Byron, we got to get cooking. We need like a kitchen in here.
Wow. Well, it has been a pleasure to have you on the show, Emily, and thank you so much for all your energy and effort in putting this fabulous book together. We hope it is a smash hit and that you really do well with this book. It's just that, you know, the timing couldn't be more perfect for getting this information out to the masses. So best of luck with what you're doing with the book.
Great. Thanks so much. And if you're ever interested, you can read my blog. It's healthyeatingnaturally.wordpress.com, and it's got all the types of things that are covered in the book.
Excellent.
Awesome. Thank you, Emily.
All right. Thanks again.
Hope people chime in and connect with you. We'll look forward to hearing more about your work. We'll be back in a minute, everyone, with Marlene, and back in a minute.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Did you know?
99 Designs is a leading marketplace for graphic design on the internet.
Did you know?
99 Designs connects you to a community of over 35,000 designers who will compete to do the best work for you.
Did you know?
99 Designs allows you to post projects for logo design, webpage design, t-shirt design, and more.
Did you know?
99 Designs projects need an average of over 70 different design options for a price that you set.
99 Designs. When designers compete, you win.
Your company's website sucks.
You know it. Everybody knows it.
So get a to-do list to fix it.
On Target, a subscription service from Future Now and Brian Eisenberg, monitors your website 24/7.
Analyzing the actions of every potential customer.
It gives you a to-do list. It tells you exactly what to fix and how to fix it.
So that more of your visitors do
what you need them to do.
On Target pricing starts at $1,000 a month.
See more at futurenowinc.com/ontarget.
XYZ from affiliate market. Are you an affiliate? If yes, you'll pay me. No ifs, ands, or maybes. Get paid daily. Make a mad dash. Sign up is a flash. Quickly convert the clicks into cash. Affiliate marketing network is first place. I cut to the chase. It's all performance based. Listen to what I'm telling you, cause this what you better do. Join as a publisher and maximize your revenue. Think we agreed that money is what you need. Indeed, you can get paid from sales and leads. Not one thing lacking. Don't get it cracking. Keep it from a quick state of the art tracking. Where did it start? You can do it a couple ways. 866XY7Pays. It's toll free. Tell me what you waiting on. So log on to XY7.com.
It's time to start jamming and spamming again with the princes of PageRank, the heroes of HTML, the sultans of CERT, SEO rock stars. Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. A few more minutes here to talk with Marlene. Marlene, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fabulous.
We've missed you, or I've missed you, I guess.
Oh, my God. Just the breath of fresh air to have you back.
I guess Amanda has you.
Well, how's it been going? We want to focus on a couple of things today just to be topic-centric. Swine flu, can't wait to get your thoughts on that and how you foresee us battling with that and what your take is on that. Couple of other thoughts on virtual shopping and what brands are healthier for you. So that's the agenda today. Without further ado, let's dive right into the swine flu. Should we be freaked out about this, and what should be our defense?
Well, I was going to dive into the microwave for a second, but
oh, please do. What's the take on that?
It was actually invented by Russia too. So what Emily was saying was correct, because Russia. Scientists invented the microwave, and then once they sold it globally, made it illegal in their own country.
That's ironic.
What happens with microwaving food is it changes the molecular structure of the food. You know, we've talked on other shows about the molecular structure of water and so forth. Well, the molecular structure of food, once it's altered, it changes what it is. And so I don't have a microwave either, and for that very reason. Now, having said that, I did read an article, and I wouldn't have said 6 months ago that this were true, but I did read an article that the flash freezing of organic vegetables actually retains most of the nutrition. So you can buy organic broccoli that's flash frozen. In fact, Costco has it in these huge bags. And it's relatively, I mean, in looking at the science on it, it's identical nutrition-wise to fresh. So they've just come a long way in being able to flash freeze things. So, and you were talking about blanching and steaming. You know, therapeutically, I like to blanch certain vegetables. But then as soon as you blanch them, if you submerge them into ice water, you know, some of the high-end caterers do that to get the real bright green color and orange color and purple colors out of white colors out of vegetables, and you blanch it and submerge it into ice water. And it's a great thing to do to asparagus, because then you can eat a few stems over the course of the week each day, and you chew it until it's gone, and then it does a passive kidney cleanse. So I like blanching.
And explain how you blanch, because there's a few different theories on it. You boil, you know,
I bring water to a boil. And I put vegetables into the water for, depending on what the vegetable is, like asparagus, I would put in there for from a minute 30 to a minute, or to 2 minutes, pull it out, and submerge it into a sink full of ice water.
Oh, time out. 30 seconds to 2 minutes.
Very... No, a minute and 30 to 2 minutes.
Oh, I see. Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Are you turning your water down completely? Do you shut the water off and just let it, or do you keep the water boiling when you blanch it?
No, I just bring it to a boil, dump it in, wait, you know, a minute and a half to 2 minutes, pull it out and submerge it into ice water.
Okay, but when you bring the water to boil, are you shutting your heat source off as you put the vegetables in?
Yes.
You are, yeah, okay.
Yes, the vegetables aren't coming off, aren't going into the water cold. They're going in at room temperature.
Ah, that's another interesting variable. Okay, okay. See, these details, the devil's in the details here.
Right.
Just to review.
It's all, life is in the details.
Just to review the process and the procedure, boil water. I believe you are then turning your heater off and putting the vegetables in, right?
Yes.
You're leaving the vegetables in for a minute, 30 to 2 minutes, probably depending upon the size of the asparagus, I'm suggesting.
Well, because you can't get it all out in 1 second, you know?
Oh, there you go. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're using a prong or something. You're then putting them in ice water, which is chilling them immediately and stopping the heating process so they don't get mushy. And also blanching, as you point out, continues to... The color is vibrant, right?
Mm-hmm. And locks in all the nutrition when you put it into the ice water.
Right, right. And how long are you leaving it in the ice water? And then
Until it's cold.
We need a whole show on blanching.
And then you need to dry it. And going back to what you were saying about hydrating vegetables, I do. I have a container in my refrigerator with water, and any kind of root vegetable, whether it be celery or carrots or whatnot, I will shop, wash, rough break, put it into the water container, and then any leafy I don't do anything with. I just break it apart and put it into the drawer open, and I have a cloth on the bottom. And when I pull it out, that's when I wash it. But I keep the vegetables, like carrots and celery and so forth, hydrated for the very reason. And you put a little baking soda in the water, and it keeps it fresh.
Hmm. How much?
Because baking soda alkalizes the water. You know, I use a teaspoon.
Yeah.
In a large container, one of those giant Tupperware containers your mother used for cake is what I use.
Mm-hmm.
It fits nicely in the refrigerator, you know. But... I will do it in a silver bowl as well, you know.
Interesting. Now, that's another question. I have the silverness. But, okay, so I've learned a great trick from my mother, and you might tell me this is wrong, but she would wrap celery in tin foil.
I bet that keeps it from deteriorating, yeah.
Yes, it is amazing how long celery will wrap in tin foil. Now, she didn't wrap carrots in tin foil. For some reason, it was just celery in tin foil. Fabulous. Right in the fridge, celery.
Well, it's drier. I just leave it in the water and keep it hydrated, and it will actually go in there. It'll go 10 days, and it'll be perfect.
Mm. I don't know. Are your carrots and your celeries and your root vegetables physically
and the reason
water?
Is, if you want to make a wrap or you want to, you know, stir fry some vegetables or whatnot, you just grab them, dice them, and go. And so people are more prone to... grab dice and go, grab strip and go, or whatever, than they are to go in, clean it, do all the other stuff they have to do to it.
What are your number one healthy snacks? You know, carrot, little baby carrots and hummus, you know. What are you snacking on throughout the day?
I love snack food. I mean, I buy a lot of commercial products to snack on. There's a product called Mrs. May's. And it's a seed and nut bar, and it's amazing. So I do Mrs. May's. That's kind of our primary nut bar. But I use a lot of hummus. I make artichoke and asparagus and spinach dips and things like that. But to pull right off of the shelf, rice cakes are great. And instead of cheese, I use goat cheese. So I'll use goat cheese on crackers, because dairy cheese, a cow has a double digestive system, so the lactic acid is extremely high, whereas a goat is similar to us, so their cheese is going to be a lot lower in lactic acid, i.e., it's going to be, you're going to be able to get some nutrition out of it, and you're going to be able to digest it without a lot of work.
So hey, Marlene, can I ask you about avocado? When it comes to avocado, how much is too much? Like, how many times a week should you be eating avocado? How healthy is it? And the fat content, what does that really mean?
It's all, well, good fat is not going to make you gain weight unless that's all you're eating. Mm-hmm. But avocados, we eat an avocado a day, Paul and I do. So mm-hmm. we're eating half an avocado a day. And in a variety of ways, avocado is good on a number of levels. I mean, the good fat is good. It's also extremely alkalizing. It's also easy to absorb. It doesn't cause your body any work to digest it. And it also will even out, like if you're blending juice drinks, green juice drinks, avocado and cucumber will smooth it out and make it taste a lot better. I have friends who actually use avocado to make key lime pie, and it tastes just like key lime pie. It's amazing.
Really?
And I know other people that use avocado to make ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So avocado is one of those miracle foods, just like lemon. Lemon, pre-digestively acidic, post-digestively raises your pH.
Mm-hmm.
And making lemonade your drink of choice is just with a stevia instead of sugar. And now a lot of the mainstream stores are carrying stevia. Is an incredible way to maintain not only your hydration, but to also keep your organs cleansed, because the lemon will take care of that for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Awesome. We were talking, or you were talking with Emily about different healthy meats and vegetables and things like that. There's a couple of websites that are good, eatwild.com. Mm-hmm. You can go on to eatwild.com and put in your city, and it will tell you any local organic grass-fed and organic-fed produce and beef and whatnot, and you can find tons and tons of places around you. It's absolutely amazing. I went in and put in our little place here in Kentucky, and there's probably 15 of these farms around, and I didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another website. It's called Certified Naturally Grown. The label is Certified Naturally Grown, and we talked about that on the previous show, but the website is called naturallygrown.org,
mm-hmm.
and that will take you to all the small farms that are growing organic in your neighborhood that are not certified organic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because to certify is kind of expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So the naturally grown, certified naturally grown people are self-regulating.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go onto their website, you'll see the regulations are just extreme, but they've got so much participation around the United States that it's just a phenomenal place to be able to support the local farmer. And what's interesting about that label organic is that, you know how you were talking about labels, and it made me think, when organic first came out and you'd go to the market and you'd look at organic, you would think, oh, it's organic. Now you think, how much of it is organic?
Mm-hmm.
So if it doesn't say 100%, then, and even if it does say 100%, it means a single ingredient is 100%. So if it says organic, it means multiple ingredients, anywhere between 95 to 100% are organic. So actually just saying organic is best.
Mm-hmm.
100% organic could be the blueberry.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it says made with organic ingredients, it only has to meet the qualification of 70%.
You know, Marlene, that goes back into that creepy greenwashing category that I hate so much, with
mm-hmm.
companies getting behind green and saying they're organic and green, when in reality a very, very tiny portion of them is actually green or organic.
Well, it is. Well, and then when it says contain organic ingredients, it's less than 70. Well, 10 is less than 70, right? So you're absolutely right.
It's a pet peeve of mine.
It is important, and that's why I try to support the farmers markets and the people that are coming together in a grassroots of the certified naturally grown,
mm-hmm.
because I think that's and then the other thing, you know, on pH Body Balance, I published, and I think you can also pick it up at naturallygrown.org, I published a list of 47 vegetables, and they in their conventional, but they show from 1 to 47 the most toxicity. And then they also publish a little handheld card that you can take with you, and it tells you the top 15 that you can buy conventionally, and the top 15 you should must buy organic. So those are all little things that are good to know. You know, I always say if you can't get organic, then do conventional, but when you get conventional, when you buy conventional vegetables, you want to make sure it's dense. So something like broccoli is going to have less pesticides than lettuce. I mean, lettuce is very porous, so it's more common sense. You know, if it's a porous vegetable, it's going to absorb more toxins from the soil, right? So you can kind of judge it that way. On produce, if you can't buy organic and you can't buy from a local farm, the two labels that I like are Foster Farms and Purdue. Both of those labels are very high-end. And they both, neither uses hormones and neither does any kind of antibiotics.
What's your take
on
those
are good things. Now, they don't say they're organic, and they don't make a lot of claims, but if you go into their websites, Purdue and Foster Farms, you'll see that they have a, it's very clean. It's clean food. And beef and poultry, I only would suggest doing grass-fed beef, and the grain is always used just to fatten the animal. I'm sorry, beef and pork. I don't do pork at all. I don't find it to be, you know, I just don't do pork. And then fish, cold water wild is good, and then cold water wild with fins is best. And the reason cold water is because less microorganisms grow in cold water. So you're not dealing with that. And wild, because like if you take, say you take the Pacific Northwest, if you have a wild river coming into it, you know, where a brackish kind of river, there's going to be less chance of issues in that river than in the ocean.
Marlene, did you say cold water with fins before?
Yeah, it's just a cleaner fish because of where they swim in the ocean. So, you know, you've heard, like, catfish, they swim at the bottom, so they're bottom feeders.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a dirty fish to begin with because of what they're ingesting.
Okay, got it, okay.
And you know, the issue is, as long as you're buying it, why not check to, now that we have to have this label, you know, that we didn't have this label 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, I think was when it came in 4 years ago, where the government said they have to label where the fish is coming from. Before you can sell it in your store, it has to be labeled. Once that label came in, now consumers have the option to read the label to see where it comes from. So I typically don't buy from warm water areas because microorganisms are higher. You know,
yeah,
the story is that, you know, we were going down south and we stopped at a resort and they said you can't go swimming because the microorganisms are too high in the water. So that night we went out to dinner and we had all the kids with us and we're overlooking the ocean and we're looking at the menu and I'm saying, why would we eat the fish out of the ocean if we can't go swimming in it?
Makes sense, but now let's translate this into what something can what somebody can understand when they go shopping tonight.
Cold water.
You're
Pacific
fan.
Northwest.
Yeah. Coho salmon, sockeye salmon. What about Norwegian salmon? Those are cold water fish.
Absolutely.
Whereas Atlantic salmon are what you would view as warmer water fish.
Unless
correct?
It was up out of Maine or.
Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm,
so,
the Northeast area.
And would you say lobster? Let's just move to that subject for a second. So Cape Cod lobsters are less appealing to you than Maine lobsters. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, that moves into seafood, and seafood is less appealing nutritionally to me than fish. From a nutritional standpoint, we're talking, not taste-wise. I love lobster.
Hey, Byron, you know that we're accidentally touching on a theory here that all things from Maine are awesome.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, let's talk about canned tuna for a minute. Because, you know, there's a big scare of the mercury in the tuna, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the studies that have been done is that if they catch a tuna that I believe is 2 years old, you can judge how old a tuna is by how long it is because they all grow the same amount every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's very wild. But if you catch a two-year-old tuna, the levels of mercury are so substantially less than an older tuna that you're allowed to put on your label minimal mercury. You can't say none, but the levels are so low that they can, they allow you to say minimal. Well, one of the interesting things I did is I saw that Costco had a new tuna, and it was and they understate and overdeliver, I think, as a company. Mm-hmm. And so I investigated their tuna, and sure enough, that's what they're doing is they're catching these two, you know, and so they're probably private labeling it, I'm sure. But so the Costco albacore tuna is actually a really good tuna. And then you can also go online and find minimal tuna. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Trader Joe's, I think, has a minimal tuna. And there's a lot of different labels for it, but that's what you're looking for on the canned tuna. So that's kind of interesting.
Everything you say is interesting, Marlene. So can we please move quickly beyond and have only a one-minute discussion of the swine flu H1N1? I'm so tired of hearing about the swine flu H1.
Yep.
And it's so overblown in the media. I don't want to even be part of a radio show that talks about it. But just for kicks and giggles, give us your quick take on the potential, you know, catastrophic disaster that could happen someday over the rainbow with some disease that could sweep the globe. And any thoughts you have on it, we would welcome.
Well, here's the situation.
Yep.
Viruses in general require an acidic environment to grow and thrive.
Uh-huh.
Most people today, because of the degraded food and water, are somewhat acidic. Even those of us that work really hard to stay in balance are not going to be in balance every single day of our lives, because you get up one day, your car doesn't start, it's raining, this, that, the next thing happens, and stress is 2 to 3 times more acidic than anything you can possibly eat. And so your pH drops out, and then you inhale or swallow an antigen. Yes, it can take root and it can begin growing. Depending on your physical state at the time that you inhale or swallow an antigen, and depending on your lifestyle, it could affect you seriously. Conversely, people that have a... Here's how your immune system's supposed to work. When you inhale... Let's talk about an allergy, for example. If you inhale an antigen, your immune system's supposed to kill it. Boom, gone. And if your immune system is compromised, that antigen will turn into a symptomology of an allergy. You'll have a reaction to the antigen because your immune system did not kill it. A virus that you can inhale, or a bacteria or whatever, that you inhale or swallow, your immune system should kill it. If you have the right environment for it to grow, it's going to grow. There's a few things people can do to improve their immune system, which is a topic for another day, I'm sure. But there's a couple of ways that you can also protect yourself in situations like traveling on airplanes, closed quarters like classrooms, things like that, where you're in amongst a bunch of people. You know, your child just starts preschool, and you're flooded with all these germs all of a sudden that you've never had anything to do with in your whole life, and your immune system's going crazy trying to protect you. Is A, boost up your immune system, but B, tap into the ionic or angstrom mineral silver. Silver was what they used, you know, hundreds of years ago to keep water pure. They used to throw silver coins into the buckets of water. You heard the old saying, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Uh-huh.
The reason is wealthy children ate with real silver, and so they were getting trace silver. Every time they ate food, silver acts as a second immune system, killing any antigen you breathe in or swallow. So break out your grandmother's silver and start eating with it is one way. Another way is to buy a commercial. You know, I love Molecula Silver because it can go through all the cells very quickly. And what I do with it is I put it into a nasal spray, like one of those pump sprayers. The other thing is salt. You know, the iodized salt today is just really terrible. So you want to go to a sea salt, either Celtic real salt. My favorite is Himalayan salt. And what that does is it carries a neutral pH, and it balances with your body fluid, because your body fluid is salt water. So it balances with your body fluid, and it cleans everything. So if you flush your sinuses with salt water, a couple times a week, even with a little nasal sprayer that pumps, and you make it by using the one of the salts I mentioned plus water until it tastes like tears, and that becomes the same consistency as your body water, and you flush it. What it does is it cleans your sinuses, and then you pump with silver during high fear times. Then the silver actually acts as your second immune system. It also will work after the fact, and there's a couple of things you can do after the fact with silver and with calcium. Calcium, if you take it, it will float your pH up, and then 5 minutes later you take the silver. Well, because you raise the pH, these microorganisms can't survive. Do I think it's a major threat? At this point, I don't. I think what's probably it's going to be, it's going to be a fall flu. That's what we're going to have this year, is a kickback of this flu. I personally don't put a lot of value into viruses, because if you really study bad microorganisms, they just pleomorphize. That's the word that's used, pleomorphize, into bigger, badder organisms or viruses or whatever you want to call it, as the environment allows them to. So if you're eating healthy, you're well hydrated, and you protect yourself, it's just like anything else. You know, it's like putting a coat on when you go outside.
The best defense is a strong, healthy offense with what you eat and how you take care of your body.
Mm-hmm. And that's use Target products. Why not? Why wouldn't you use Target products? Why wouldn't you use silver before you get on an airplane with recycled air and a bunch of strangers that are coming from all over the world?
Traveling with my spoon, that's what I'm going to do.
It's sort of like the werewolf survival guide.
I'm telling
the health
you,
survival
breaking
guide.
Out your silver is a good idea. Why not use it every day?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was a reason it was silver.
Is there a supplement?
And also, you can get zinc stimulates your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And there's quite a few things that stimulate your immune system. Mm-hmm. Most of our immune systems aren't working optimally, and that should be everybody's focus today, regardless of any kind of threat from swine flu or flu in general. If you can build your immune system during the summer, it'll carry you through the winter. And what a perfect time to do it, because you're outside, you're perspiring, you're getting rid of all the toxins, you're hydrating, you're doing all this stuff. Why not also focus on your immune, your digestion, your elimination, and get those things in order? You know, all disease begins in there. It all begins in the intestinal tract. So why not focus on that?
Okay, so imagine we're attending a healthy building immune system clinic that you're putting on. Give us three things that we could do to build up our immune system and then start this summer.
I would start using fresh lemon.
Uh-huh.
As much of it as I possibly could. I'd incorporate it into my food. I'd incorporate it into what I drank. And the other thing I would focus on dinner as being the healthiest meal. And how you do that is you always have twice the vegetables of whatever else you're having. And so it doesn't mean you can't eat other things. It just means that you have to balance it out. And as far as preparing them, I would be using good cold-pressed oil. Good oil is really critical. You know, I think most people are turned on to olive oil today. Well, you want to know the heat points of oil. So good avocado oil can go to a really high heat. Coconut oil is really good. Olive oil. I'd use oils. I'd make dinner the healthiest meal. I'd use a lot of lemon. And I would put something in the water, preferably lemon, to make it wetter to the body. And I would be drinking more water than other things, unless it was lemonade, and then you can exchange water for lemonade. The problem is that it's not drinking soda. It's not having a glass of wine. It's not having enough water to flush what you've just done.
Uh-huh.
And those are, I would do that. And if you could do that even 80% of the summer, you would help your immune system dramatically.
Marlene, quick question. I was learning and reading a little bit about grilling, and I know we need to go in a second because we could just talk to you forever, but do you have any problems with grilling? Do you see any problems with grilling regularly more than, say, 5 days a week?
Well, you know, a lot of people do because the flame hits the food and you end up having, you know, here's my position on it. I grill. I enjoy grilling. Simultaneously, if I'm doing vegetables, they're not going to be damaged because I grilled them. I'm still getting, when Emily was talking about the enzymes of vegetables, what that means is when you digest food, your body creates enzymes to digest the food. A lot of people today have run out of enzymes. And so when you grill and you're cooking food like that, a lot of times you're hurting it because of the smoke, but you're also hurting it because you cook it down too much. Mm-hmm. And when she talks about eating raw and getting the enzymes, you can still get enzymes when you're grilling vegetables. You just don't grill them as long as you normally would. And so you still get the enzymes out of that food. I personally think grilling is great.
What about propane and the substance that can build up inside a propane, grill?
That's where it becomes unhealthy. And so I grill open.
Listen. Okay, so.
And what I do is, a lot of times what we do is we wrap. You were talking about putting foil. We'll tent food. And then at the end, we'll grill it to get the grill marks on it so that it's not in there with the lid closed and all the propane gas.
So
and we tent it with
open.
The tinfoil and we lock it. And then at the end, we grill it. And other people do it the opposite. They'll grill it, then they'll tent it, and then they'll put it back on the grill. You still get the same benefit. You just don't have your food hanging out with all the propane gas the whole time it's cooking.
When you say tent it, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm. You create a tent with tinfoil. You roll the tinfoil around it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's still cooking, but it's protected.
Wouldn't you want to seal it and grill it first so the juices are sealed in and then tent it and then
mm-hmm.
put it back on the grill? Or?
Sure, you can do that, too. We do fish a lot on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll lay it on top of vegetables and we'll cook it and then we'll dump it all on the grill and then put it on the plate. But, yeah, if you were cooking meat or chicken or turkey, yeah, you would have to seal it first.
How many days a week do you grill in the summer?
Probably three.
Mm-hmm.
Byron, I think we could go on. George, the producer, and I have a bet going that you guys could go for a good 2-3 hours without interruption. We just let you guys.
But
unfortunately, we have reached the end of our show once again.
We've reached the end of our double show, which we've
a
had.
A double show, yeah.
And just such a pleasure. We can't wait to see you next week. Do you have any hints on what you might talk about next week that's interesting to us all?
Well, I wanted to finish what we're doing here, but would that work? I'm only a third of the way through.
Go on. I don't mind.
Well, we can pick up right where we left off next month.
Next time, let's pick it up with pets.
Yep. Good. We'll pick up right where we left off, and Marlene, thankfully, is on with us every third Wednesday of the month, so we never have a shortage of things to discuss with you.
It's fun. I enjoy it.
Good.
Well, happy grilling.
Do you have any quick recaps to finish up some fabulous brainstorms you have that will make us healthier? We did our building immune system. We covered fish today, which was fantastic. We covered travel and airplanes, silver spoons, antigens.
Well, I can quickly say stir fry instead of fry, steam instead of boil, serve raw with cooked so you can layer it. Definitely chew more. The more work your mouth does, the less work your stomach does. Mm-hmm. Do a visual diet, more vegetables, less meats. And low-heat crock-pot soups, even though they're not popular in the summer, gives you huge nutrition, and your body doesn't have to work for any of it. When you eat salads raw, you really have to chew a lot. And what's really a good tip is if you really love dessert, eat it first. And then
yeah.
eat the food behind it, because it stays in your body less time.
Yes!
And when in doubt, eat vegetables.
Oh, my gosh, that was the craziest life tip I've ever heard in my life. My wife is going to be so happy. It's crazy.
We do allow our kids to do that when we go out to eat, by the way.
Oh, you are such a great mom. That's awesome.
Once again, a jaw-dropping, amazing phone call and interview with you, Marlene. Thank you so much for all that you do for all the listeners and for us.
Thank you, guys. I love the clapping in the background. It just makes me want to bow.
Bring some more clapping on, George.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
She went out to take a walk around the neighborhood thinking we're going to be another hour, but... anyway, thanks again for being with us, Marlene. Thanks, Amanda, for organizing everything, and thanks for listening, everyone. Well, we'll see you next week. Until next week, I hope your life's a little bit smarter.
Better.
Faster.
And healthier.
And more in tune with playing these Marlene casts over and over and over again, particularly the last part, which I would rewind about 5 times and listen to. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.